Welcome back to Drinks First. My name is Ariana Nathani. I'm your host. And for the first time ever, I'm also your guest. This is something I have been wanting to do for a long time. And what better way to do it in the middle of our fourth season? It's about time I start talking a little bit more about myself and why I even started this and a little bit just more about me. So first Drinks First episode that is not anonymous, because I had no idea how I would be able to put myself on here being anonymous. But you know the drill. If you are interested in meeting, you can slide in through the form on our Instagram at drinks.first, platonically or romantically. So let's get started. We'll start with the basics. I start every episode with asking people how old they are, where they went to school, what they do for work, and where they like to go out to eat and drink. So I might as well just do that for myself. And honestly, I haven't really thought about these answers so much. So you're getting this raw, unedited version of me, except it will be edited. Thank you to my amazing producer, Haley. And why am I nervous right now? I'm nervous. I'm just going to put that out there that I am nervous about this. So, okay, let's just get into it. My name is Ariana Nathani. I am 26 years old. I believe that is how old I'll be when this episode comes out. I am born and raised in New York City. I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up on the Upper East and Upper West Side, and I went to school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to Carnegie Mellon University, and I studied fine arts and human-computer interaction, which I get a lot of questions about. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's the study of humans and computers. And when I applied an art lens to it, I got into product design, UX, UI design. And that led me to my career, in which I still work today as a digital experience designer at one of the largest, if not the largest, healthcare company in the world. The logo is red and white. I will let you figure it out from there. I have been working there since I graduated college in 2019. Also the year I moved back to New York City and the year that I started Drinks First. So I started my career as a designer and I moved back to New York City. I was living with my parents on the Upper West Side. And my mom was like, you need a hobby after 5 p.m. Like, I see you finish work and then all you do is like go and meet your friends. You go out for dinner, you party, but like you need something else. And that is basically how Drinks First was born. I felt like I was talking to a lot of friends at the time and dating was really tough for them. You know, meeting somebody is hard in New York City and people were exhausted by dating apps, which is so funny because that was 4 years ago and the same problems still persist. So I felt like I knew a lot of people and it didn't matter the race, the gender, the ethnicity. It just did not matter the age. Dating is tough. We're in one of the biggest cities in the world, one of the most diverse cities in the world. Why is it so hard for us to find people? And at the time, I was listening to a lot of podcasts. Very specifically, I was listening to Call Her Daddy, and I was listening to We Met at Acme. Shout out to Lindsay Metzeler. She's wonderful. And as much as I loved those podcasts, I felt like there were a few things I couldn't really relate to. One being the fact that it was very like white woman centric. And the experience dating as a white woman is very different than for other people. So it's hard to take this like advice and catch all kind of conversations about dating and apply it to yourself when it's not the same. It's just not. And I love what they were doing, but you know, I don't think I could follow some of the same rules that Call Her Daddy were kind of spewing out. So one reason that compelled me to start this podcast is the diversity of thought and opinion. The other one was, as the designer in me was so focused on human-centered design and I was having these conversations and I noticed a problem. That problem is driven by tech that exists, which is dating apps. And dating apps are biased, they are gamified, and it's very hard to get a feel of attraction or of someone that you might be interested in meeting based off of very little information and also the amount of time we take to look at profiles. You know, I just did not think it was set up for people to win. And so I thought I would create a different channel. I'm not saying Drinks First is the perfect solution, but it does address some of that gamified bias nature of dating that we've created through dating apps, and really allows you to hone in on somebody for 45 minutes and listen to what they are about, what their life experience has been, kind of like you're going on a date with them. And attraction is a very interesting thing. I think people can take time to learn about somebody and be attracted to them, as opposed to looking at a photo of them for 2 seconds and then swiping left or right. And then throughout the pandemic, I tried to figure out how to continue to grow Drinks First. And there was a moment where I did 2 seasons of talking to influencers, not anonymously, to see what they were up to, what dating was like for them. And honestly, like, great conversations, but just not applicable to what I was doing. And so I decided to really stick with my anonymous podcast. And I think that's what has performed the best. And that is really the core of what Drinks First is about. And then throughout the pandemic, like everyone else, I got on TikTok. And I think I saw some video of somebody saying, like, this is where you should go out in New York City. And I was like, well, I think I have opinions on that because I've been going out here for years and I've had my fair share of experiences. And, you know, I also look different from some of the other influencers who were talking about these sorts of things. So I was like, let me just throw my opinion out there and see what people think. And that was one of my very first videos that went viral. And so I just kept making content, and I thought that establishing myself as sort of a quote unquote subject matter expert in nightlife and restaurants and life in New York City, that people would find me and then find Drinks First, where we talk a lot about similar things. That being said, a question I do ask to everyone is like, what are your favorite places to go out and what are your favorite places to eat? And for me, that's so hard, but I will give you a few. One of my favorite Italian restaurants is this place called Gennaro's. It's on the Upper West Side. And to be honest, it might not be the best Italian restaurant in all of New York City, but it is very nostalgic to me. They have my favorite salad, which is this frise pear salad with truffle oil and walnuts and some cheese. And it is just fantastic. I have not had a salad like that anywhere else in New York City or the world. And they make a gnocchi in a tomato cream sauce that is also divine. So Gennaro's is like one of my comfort places to go for Italian food. I'm also a huge pizza person. I love a thin crust pizza. So some of my favorite places to get pizza are Le Industry for a slice. I like Ace's Pizza for Detroit style pizza. Ruby Rosa for a pie. The tie-dye is my fave. Also Giuseppina's in South Slope, owned by the same family as Lucali's. So you can get the same Lucali pizza for literally zero weight, and it is fantastic. Those are kind of some of my favorite spots. I love Thai Diner. Dumplings and Dips in St. Mark's is also kind of a hidden gem. They do these kind of like Thai style fusion dumplings. I don't eat beef or pork, or really, honestly, fish. I eat shellfish. So that might skew some of my opinions. Take that into account, because some of my friends are like, you can't talk about, you know, places that serve burgers and X, Y, and Z. And that's true. I can't. So this is just my personal opinion of places I like. And then places I like to go out. Most of my life, my going out life now, is really about Drinks First. So I haven't gone out like for leisure in a while, unless it's like a friend's event, but never just to like go out anymore. I also had the opportunity to start throwing events in 2021. And my first one was at Ludlow House, and it just turned out to be such a success. Like, obviously, I'd built this community of people who wanted to meet in a new way. and were coming out of the pandemic and people wanted to meet in real life. It just made a lot of sense. And so however you may have found the podcast, whether it's coming to one of our events or seeing me on TikTok or that you're an OG listener, I have just loved creating this ecosystem that is Drinks First. And the events skew from as small as, you know, 20 people to as large as 2,000 plus. I've done events at places like Soho House, Georgia Room, Ray's, the Williamsburg Hotel, all sorts of places. I partner with lots of different brands and one of my favorite supper clubs, When and Where. We do a lot of events together. So it has really become like such a joy to become involved in hospitality because it's something I enjoy a lot of my free time doing prior to being Drinks First. But to answer the question of like places I like to go out, now I'm like old and decrepit. So I only like to go to places where I maybe don't have to wait in line or I'm treated well. But for a big like clubby kind of night out, I love Georgia Room. If you're just looking to dance, the staff there is wonderful. The space is beautiful and the music is usually pretty great. And the crowd is diverse, which I also really respect. If I'm going to see certain DJs, I love to look at Public Records and Good Room, Knockdown Center. If I'm looking for like a really Berlin-esque night, I'm going to Basement. And for drinks, and currently I'm not drinking, so this has been like a new experience for me. But for bars that I just love the vibe of, Katana Kitten is one of my favorites. It has been for years in the West Village. Discolo, where I've done events, is also gorgeous and the drinks are top notch. The Box is a lot of fun. I used to go there a lot when I was in my early 20s. I just went recently again for the first time after the pandemic. Still fun, still a great time. Also, Outer Heaven, right next to The Box, owned by my friend Jack, who's been on the podcast before. At this point, I just love going to places where I can support my friends and know that I'll have a good time and know that the music's really good. The rest of it is just kind of Drinks First events that I'm attending. So if you do ever want to meet me, I will be there. I might be stressed out. It's a little hard to talk to me in those situations, but that's a bit about kind of like what I like to do, where I like to go. So yeah, that's the intro. That's the like beginning part of how I conduct any interview with somebody, is to get that kind of baseline feel of who they are. So I hope that kind of gave you an idea of who I am and how I started Drinks First. I will repeat again, I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm good at this solo episode kind of thing. I started Drinks First with the intention of highlighting other people's stories and not my own. But as time has gone by, I've seen affinity grow towards the brand when there's a face to it. And here we are 4 years into me starting Drinks First. So maybe it's time I start putting myself a little bit out there as well. So let's get into it. Let's just dive right in. Mom/any of my family, if you are listening to this, maybe stop. Like, I would prefer if you didn't, just so we can kind of preserve our relationship. Let's talk a little bit about my dating life. Like I said, born and raised in New York City. I went to public school, a specialized public school on the Upper East Side from basically preschool till the end of ninth grade. Then I made the decision to transfer to an all-girls private school, which had 60 girls in a grade, and Gossip Girl was based off of, partially based off of the school. And I honestly, like, my life changed a lot. The reason, a lot of people ask why I chose to make that decision, and honestly, a lot of it was based around college. I am a first-generation American. My parents came from India, and education is and always has been the most important thing to them. Where I went to college was a huge stress for them, and all they wanted was their kids to go to Ivy League schools. My dad ended up being happy that I did go to Carnegie Mellon. It was, you know, in the threshold of being good enough, but a lot of it was college. When I was at public school, it was just a larger grade and less personalization on the college process. I have an older brother who went to private school. My parents saw the kind of support he got, and so they encouraged me to look into that for myself. I never thought going to private school would impact my life so much, especially for the last 3 years of high school, but it did. It changed me a lot as a person. I struggled a lot with my mental health. I was never somebody who had trouble making friends when I went to camp or after school activities. I always clicked with people, and I never in a million years thought that that wouldn't happen if I transferred schools, but it did. Going to private school was really tough, and I came in at a grade that wasn't normal. I came in with people having preconceived notions of me because New York City is really small, and I came in to an all-girls school at the time when girls are the worst, when they're going through puberty and they're like 15, 16 years old. I struggled. I really, really struggled, and so I struggled making friends. I struggled finding where I fit, and that impacted so many areas of my life. I was diagnosed with depression. It was not something I had ever struggled with before, but, you know, with therapy and some support, I was able to kind of pull myself out of it and haven't severely struggled with it ever since. But it was a really tough time in my life. And also, I was one of three South Asian girls in my entire grade. I was also one of the only people who was kind of curvier or plus sized. And at all girls school, at private all girls school, there is a lot of emphasis on being skinny. It was so crazy, the culture around being skinny. People were obsessed with it. They would get juice cleanses delivered to school. They would skip meals. They would use the word Anna, like short for anorexic, as a compliment to people. And, you know, moving away from that now, luckily, I don't think it's necessarily that bad anymore. For the girls who are at school, I think there's more education around that. But yeah, it was just really tough for me being so different from everyone else. And I never really thought that I was. It wasn't until going to school there that I felt really othered. I had come from a co-ed public school, and so I had a lot of friends who were guys. And I don't think I didn't have my first kiss until I was 15, which I thought was kind of late because I had friends in school, in public school, who were having sex with people. And I was like, I feel really, really late to the game. And once I got to private school, things were different because it was all girls. And I started having experiences with guys again, like later into my high school career, but it was so bizarre because the guys that we interacted with went to other schools, and there were more girls in private school than there were guys. Like there are like six all girl schools and like two all boys schools. So it just always felt like there was somewhat of a scarcity mindset. And me not being like the Eurocentric standard of beauty, I had a hard time kind of meeting and dating people. And also when you're not in school with guys, it's not at like the forefront. There's less opportunity to kind of meet people and have those experiences. So it was also at the turn of like dating apps becoming popular. I remember being 16 and downloading Tinder, and you could be on Tinder if you were under 18, and it would just show people between the ages of like 15 and 18 or something like that. And so it was just like everybody from the schools you knew who were already on dating apps. My memory's kind of blurry, but I ended up like matching with like celebrities and guys from other schools and celebrities' kids and things like that, because it was just like New York City. And I ended up having experiences with certain people. And what I found to be consistent was I was often kept a secret from people. And I saw that there were guys who were attracted to me, but they were afraid to admit it. And we would have experiences together, and then they would be like, don't tell anyone. And that really impacted me. I felt a lot of shame around it. And it wasn't until later on in life when I talked to some other friends that they had also gone through similar situations. And then I went to college in 2015 and joined a sorority, and I was introduced to frat life, and things changed. I did feel slightly more desired, but unfortunately, like a lot of other women, I had some really terrible experiences in college, some that were non-consensual and affected the way that I loved myself and looked for affection outside. It's not something I talk about that often, and I most certainly have not really discussed it with my family. But my freshman year, I had an experience that changed the way that I viewed intimacy in life. And unfortunately, it was an experience that was non-consensual with someone that I thought I trusted. And I learned very quickly that that wasn't the case and that people can be really horrendous. So I kind of shut myself down from experiences that could happen. And this is not a unique story. This happens to so many people. Being in a sorority and like being surrounded by so many amazing women, like they could relate to the experience I had because most women in college have that experience, which is so, so terrible. But yeah, I didn't really focus on dating when I was in college because of this experience that had happened so early for me in my college life. And I didn't want it to take me down. So I just tried to focus on my friendships and going out and my life ahead. It wasn't until I studied abroad in London in 2017 where I really started to put myself out there again. And I had made a number of bad decisions in college. I think we all do, where I had experiences with men that I regretted and that I didn't feel good about. And I think a lot of what I carried from high school, that shame kind of permeated into college. And I allowed myself to be okay with being treated in subpar ways. And it wasn't until me studying abroad where I met my first boyfriend. And we met on Bumble. And it was, I think, the second month of me studying at school in London. And I was only there for 3 months. It was like the end of the first month, beginning of the second. And I met this guy and we just clicked. And we had gone on a date and we started going on more dates and we started spending a lot of time together. And he was slightly older. He was like 3 years older than me. And I started experiencing what it would be like to be in love and to be consistent with one person who really respects you for who you are and everything you have to offer. And I started realizing what a relationship with intimacy and people could look like when it's healthy. And that was a really amazing experience for me. Unfortunately, he lived in London and I didn't. And so at the end of my study abroad experience, we decided that we would break up because neither of us wanted to do long distance and it just wasn't super tenable for the future. And so we broke up and I was heartbroken. That was, I think, the first time I really experienced being heartbroken and being in love and knowing what that felt like. We did actually continue to be together even after we quote unquote broke up. We did actually stay together for a few months. We were long distance for about 3-4 months. And then we would see each other a few times, but it just didn't end up working out. I was young. I was 21. We were in different places in our lives, both physically and literally. And long distance just wasn't working and we wanted different things. I'm still friendly with him today. I care a lot about him and I'm really grateful to him for teaching me the baseline of respect in a relationship. I guess now it's been 5 years and we are still friends. We're friendly. We're not best friends, but we are friendly. And that was my very first relationship. I learned a lot from it and it helped me kind of realize some of the baseline things I wanted in a relationship going forward. So we ended things between my junior and senior year. And then when I got to school senior year, I met somebody else who was in my program, but he was 2 years younger than me. And I was fresh coming out of a relationship. I was fresh coming out of a long distance relationship. I wasn't looking for another relationship that would inevitably have an end because I was graduating and he was staying in school. So I never allowed myself to kind of think of it as a relationship. We did spend a lot of time together over the course of like 6 months. He also is a wonderful person and we still keep in touch. We're still friends. It was a nice reprieve from coming out of a relationship and then having something consistent again. But I never allowed myself to think of it as a relationship. We never put a label on it. We were open, I guess, but we did spend a lot of time together and we formed a relationship. So I do think of him as somebody who was one of my exes. That's how I refer to him. And even to this day, I'm like, can I call you my ex? And he's like, I guess, like, whatever you want, however you want to refer to it. Because I'm like, how else would I refer to it? Then I graduated my senior year, 2019. I moved to New York and I lived with my parents. So dating was not really on the table, especially with my first generation Indian American parents. Like, it was not happening. Very hard to like go out and meet people. I didn't feel comfortable telling my parents like that I was going on a date. So I just kind of didn't do it. And I started the podcast and I was establishing my life. And then 2020, we had a pandemic and I was stuck living at home, which I'm super grateful for. I love my parents, but obviously we're not dating in 2020. I think I went on a few dates later on in 2020 here and there, but nothing of any significance that I can even remember. And then 2021 rolled around. End of 2020, I moved to Miami. 2021, I was living in Miami until May. 3 months of it, I was living alone. And so it was the first time I was really alone and allowed myself to be like, okay, I'm an adult, I'm living alone, maybe I should try dating. But the thing with Miami is that I knew, again, that it was going to end. And so I couldn't really view anything as like something that could last for a while because I had an end date to me being there. I moved back to New York in with my parents, same situation. And then in fall of 21, I moved to Barcelona. And that was an incredible experience for me. It was really nice to get out of New York and to experience a new kind of life. I dated. I felt like I was an adult and I had volition over my dating life. And I learned a lot about myself. I went to some pretty crazy events. I met some really interesting people. I engaged in very different ways. And maybe that is, you know, something for episode 2 of a solo podcast, but it's not something I'm ready to get into right now. But I learned a lot about myself. It was kind of like an eat, pray, love moment. I have fallen in love a number of short times as I've traveled. And I'm like, maybe I can give one example. I was in Greece. I was in Athens and I was with my friend and it was our last night there. And I ended up meeting somebody on a dating app and he was from France and he was there with his friends. And so I was like, okay, well, why don't you and your friends and me and my friend like go and get a drink? And so we did. We met for a drink and I was not interested in this guy, but I was interested in his friend. And so we ended up going out with them and I ended up connecting with his friend and we stayed connected for weeks after, even though we were not in the same place. And I fully fell in love with this man. Let me tell you, sexy, tall French guy. Oh my God. He was like incredible. And he was so smart. He was getting his PhD in math. And I was like, this is it. I'm done. This is my life. I can die happy. And it ended weeks later in me being ghosted. So my life has not been all roses. If we want more information on my life, I might need to get a little more comfortable opening up. I don't know if it's going to happen on this podcast episode. I feel like I'm opening up to some degree. You tell me, DM me, let me know what you think about this because I honestly don't know what I think about it. So living in Europe was an amazing time. I learned a lot about myself and I allowed myself to have a lot of different experiences. And I think every single person should have a moment in their life where they are able to kind of explore and try different things, try new things, put yourself out there without the judgment of other people. And I think that was so key for me. And that only could happen when I was living abroad, because when I'm in New York, I know a lot of people. The chances of me bumping into someone is really high. It's very hard to be anonymous in the place that you grew up and the place that you have roots. That place just happens to be New York City for me. So I feel like I can't act in any which way unless I really was someplace where I could start fresh. And I cherish that a lot. Even Miami, like I had some ties to. So I didn't feel like I could be as free as I was in Barcelona. But after a lot of years of kind of instability and no like real stable relationship, I moved back to New York at the end of 2021. And the beginning of 2022, I finally moved into my own place. And I had told myself, the minute I move into my own place, I am going to put myself out there and I'm going to start dating. And the day after I moved into the apartment I live in now, which is in downtown Manhattan, away from my life and my parents uptown and my brother who lives in Brooklyn, it was the first time I really had autonomy in the city that I grew up in. And the day after I moved, I went on a first date with somebody who I ended up dating for a year and a half. So a lot of the reason I wanted to do this solo episode is also because the first half of the season, I'm talking from a perspective of being in a relationship. And if you listen to the end of my last season, I do mention that I started seeing someone. And I was very lucky to have a very fruitful and stable relationship for the past year and a half. And I am now a bit over a month into being single. By the time this episode comes out, it's going to be a bit longer than that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about it. And not so much because I still have a lot of respect for the person I was in a relationship with, but it is something I want to address. So in February of 2022, I moved out of my parents' place into my own apartment and I met a really wonderful person. We went on a first date and we met on a dating app, but we did have mutual friends. So I really think that's a huge key is like, you know, somebody's kind of like two-factor authenticated. I've like talked about this on other episodes, but I knew he wasn't like a crazy person. I knew we had mutual friends, but I went into this date with very little expectation. It was, we were talking for like maybe a week before just because there was a lot going on. Like I was moving, it was his birthday, and we just found time to go on a date. And we went on our first date. We went to Little Shop in Seaport, very random, but a really cute date spot. And we had a nice time. He was cute. I enjoyed myself. He didn't touch me a single time, like while we were at the bar, like no hand brush, no hand on the thigh, no nothing. We had one drink and we split the bill. And I really thought he was not interested in me. And I also, he was a little shy. So I felt like I was carrying the conversation a little bit. And it, after our date, he was like, oh, do you want to get a drink somewhere else? And I was pretty shocked because I didn't think he liked me. And so I was like, okay, sure, why not? And so we continued our date and it lasted for hours. And we ended up having a really good time. I'm glad that I was open to like getting to know him more. And then things just progressed very naturally. And this is something I tell my friends, like even while we were in that phase of dating, I was like, it just feels so easy. I wasn't worried about texting him or if I was texting him too much or too little. I, you know, felt like he was always responsive. It wasn't, is he going to text me back? It's just like a matter of when. I never felt anxiety around the relationship. I felt very comfortable. I really think that that was such a solid base to start on. And as we discussed our relationship, as time went on, you know, I found that he felt similarly. He liked that I had my own life and I had my own things going on. And we still made time to see each other. I think we saw each other maybe like once a week at the kind of beginning of us dating. And then as we were getting closer past the month mark, we started seeing each other a little bit more. And I think around like 6 weeks to 2 months, we both kind of stopped seeing other people, but there was no, we just had a conversation of being like, let's continue doing what we're doing. We don't want to stick a label on it. And I think it was around the 3-ish month mark where we made things official. So it was a pretty standard progression. It felt very comfortable. And I really think that that is such an indication of what could amount in a really good relationship. So you might be wondering why, like, why did it end? And again, it's still really fresh and it is very possible he will listen to this and some of his friends might listen to this. But at the end of the day, we were very different people. I have so much love and respect for him still, as I do for all of the people who have been intimate, like close intimate partners in my life. And I hope that that comes across as I've talked about each of them. We knew from pretty early on in us dating that we were very communicative. We were really good about talking about things and how we were feeling. And with him, we kind of knew that our lifestyles were very different. He grew up very differently than I did. And that permeated into our values and our goals for our long-term life. And we were really happy together. I was very happy in that relationship. And I believe he was too. We were for a while. And we continue to be up until the end. As things got more serious, you know, a year and a half into a relationship, and at the ripe old age of 26, which I'm joking, it's not that old, you start to think about more serious things, and dating just to date can get a little tough. And so we were really happy. I was really happy. We had a very stable relationship. He was so supportive. He was such a supportive partner. That is something I know I will need and want going forward in the future. But when it came down to the things we wanted long term, they were different. We weren't super aligned on kids and marriage and even like potentially the ways that we wanted to live our lives. And as much love and respect as I have for him, it wasn't worth continuing the relationship, even though I was happy, because I wasn't ready to make those compromises. And I don't know if really he was either. We ended things pretty mutually with a lot of respect. And I like to think a lot of love. And we were partners up until the very end about it, down to, you know, holding each other's hands and unsharing our locations together. And it was intense. And it was really sad. I'm still sad about it. But I know that it was the right decision. We are currently no contact. So I am a little like, I don't know at the time that this comes out that maybe we won't be anymore, but I don't know. We probably still will be. We're taking the time that we need to kind of, you know, get over the relationship that we had, and we're both doing it in our own ways. A month is still very fresh, but yeah, I'm now single again. And having a company related to dating and also being somewhat of a public figure, I had my relationship out on the internet, not to a large extent, but it was there. People knew. And now I'm single and I'm in a new era of my life. And so I thought it was valuable to address it. I don't want to get so much more into my relationship just because it is so fresh, but I do want to touch on this kind of idea of being friends with your ex. I know a lot of people see it as a red flag, but for me, and part of the reason we ended our relationship when we did was because we had a lot of love and respect for each other. And that was something I wanted to maintain, and something that's very important to me, is that the people who I've spent time with intimately and closely and who I have the privilege of having gotten to know that way, and they've had the privilege to get to know me that way, I want some positive relationship. We don't need to be best friends. We don't need to be talking every day. We don't need to feign a friendship when a friendship didn't exist before a relationship. But I care about that mutual respect still being there. So in terms of me being friends with my exes, or the three people now that I consider exes, it's something that's important to me. And if you want to call it friends or friendly or acquaintances or whatever, I just care to be on good terms with people who have impacted me positively in my life. I think in a way that you can have love for someone, it doesn't mean you're in love with them. And so I still hold a lot of love for these people. So that is my like outlook on things. People might see that as a red flag. That's okay. I hope that the people that I am with in the future are not bothered by that. But that's just how I view relationships and the ending terms of them. So yeah, now we are in a single era. I'm 26 turning 27 and I have a lot of life to go. I'm excited to see what it can bring me, and I'm open. I'm open to experiences. I'm open to meeting people. I'm open to being present in this moment of my life, because when I moved into this apartment and I had the freedom for the first time to be a dating adult in New York City, I very quickly fell into a relationship. And I would not have traded that experience for anything, but I am ready now for this kind of new chapter of my life. I think that's it for my first solo episode. That's some background on my dating life and who I am. And it has been so wonderful building Drinks First and talking to so many different people about their dating lives and their experiences. And I know that this maybe wasn't like the most funny episode in the world, but I do hope that it gives you some insight into who I am and who the person is interviewing all of these amazing people. I view every conversation I have with someone as a chance to learn about their experience, a chance to help broadcast their voice and their experience to other people, and potentially a chance for people to connect. It has been super rewarding for me, and I've met so many interesting and amazing people, and I'm excited to continue doing so. So that's me. I'm like, is there anything else I should really talk about? I still work my full-time job as I build Drinks First. I have so much love for like going out to eat. I update my belly profile like it's nobody's business. I love to travel. I've been to over 40 countries. One of my favorite trips in the world has been to Africa, like South Africa and Botswana. I loved going to Morocco. One of my least favorite trips in the world was China because I got lung poisoning both times I went there. I feel like I have a lot of life to talk about, but it's just, I've never done solo episodes before. So if it is something of interest and you guys liked this, DM me. Maybe I'll do more in the future. If you didn't like it, also tell me. I feel like the version you're getting of me on this podcast is kind of like protected and a little, I don't want to say sterile because I've been honest, but I don't know if like my full personality is really coming across here. And that is because it is hard to have a conversation with yourself. And I just spoke to myself for like 50 minutes. So maybe that's a green flag, you know, that I don't want to be talking into a microphone just myself for 50 minutes. And that was also a big thing with Drinks First. I didn't want to be another 20 something with a microphone who starts a podcast. There's no value to that. I wanted to give my listeners value. So I really hope that you guys have enjoyed Drinks First. Share it with your friends and your family. Don't share it with your family. Share it with your friends. The podcast, the events, my TikToks, I appreciate it. I love building it. So I end every episode with something called shots, which are rapid fire questions I ask to all of my guests. So I'm pulling them up right now and I'm going to ask them to myself and answer them. Okay, I'm ready to do some shots. Early bird or night owl? I am absolutely a night owl. Work hard or play hard? The correct answer is both. But at this moment in my life, I guess it's more work hard. Dine out or delivery? I am a dine out girl for sure. Laundry or dishes? Ugh, they both kind of suck. I would maybe say dishes. No, I would say laundry. Laundry, but I'm not good at folding it. Dishes, I get grossed out by the food on the plate, but I can put it in the dishwasher. Maybe half of both. I need somebody to help me with both, okay? TikTok or Instagram? I'm going to say TikTok. I waste most of my life on it. Money or fame? Money, hands down. Hands down, money. My goal was to build Drinks First without me ever being in front of it. But alas, here we are. Coke or Pepsi? The only correct answer to this is Coke. Coke Zero, to be specific. Or Diet Coke with lime. But it's Coke. Spicy or mild? So spicy that it burns your tongue off. Like Thai Indian levels of spicy I need. Rest in peace, my acid reflux. Coffee date or drinks date? This is interesting because right now I'm in my California sober era. So I guess I'll say coffee date or a like mocktail drinks date. I don't care if other people drink. Like, honestly, I would prefer a drinks date. But you know what? I'm going to say coffee date for right now because I'm not drinking right now. Favorite season? That moment between summer and fall and spring and summer. Like the transitory moment in New York City where it is actually palatable. That is actually the time I'm recording this episode right now. So whatever this in-between post-fashion week season is, that's my favorite season. Favorite song right now? I've been loving this artist named Sid Sriram. He is massive in India, but I only found out about him when he like was doing press to start releasing his first English album. And the whole album is called Siddharth, and it is incredible. It is like transient and beautiful, and I love it. So that's what I'm listening to right now. I think my favorite song on the album is Blue Space. What is your drink of choice? So mocktail right now that I've been drinking has been Little Saints. It's been really delicious. It's like a plant magic cocktail. Has like CBD and reishi mushrooms and stuff in it. I've been enjoying that a lot. There's something called Heirloom, which are these cannabis infused drinks that are really nice. And when I was drinking alcohol, and I'm sure I will again in the future, my go-to drink was a vodka soda with lime and mint because I'm a skinny bitch. And then if I had a boat, what would you name it? I would name it Pinky, because Pinky is the stuffed animal I've had since I was born, and it is my most prized possession. So those are my shots. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. And if you are interested in matching with me platonically or romantically, you can slide on into the form. It's in my link in bio on Instagram at drinks.first. If you have any inquiries about the podcast, if you want to sponsor an event or an episode or something like that, email me drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. And my personal TikTok and Instagram is at Ariana, A-R-I-A-N-A, dot Nathani, N-A-T-H-A-N-I. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for being here. I feel like I don't say it enough. I am so eternally grateful for the Drinks First community, and I am obsessed with every single one of you who listens to this podcast specifically, because it really is a labor of love. So thank you.